here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, funny.
Tim, hold on a minute, Tim. Turn your mic on. Yeah, please. I had it on for you. I don't know what happened.
Exactly what I was going to say. We're here and breathing.
All right. What about the cruise in yesterday? We had a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate everyone that brought their cars out and came out and was part of that. And we had, I think, 16 different cars for the weekend. And we know that there were some car shows here locally that probably took away from some of our cars being here, but we still had a good time in the Lord, right?
Amen.
And the food was good, so we're always thankful for that. But thank you for helping and taking part of that. We appreciate that very much. Let's pray for one another. We still have a lot of sickness going on. We have a lot of people traveling still, and there's people out today. I know John and his family, they're on vacation for the next 3 weeks. So they told us last week that they would be away for a while. Let's pray for revival. We're going to have revival starting on September the 13th, which is a Wednesday night. And we're actually going to start downtown Clarksville.
Amen.
We're going to be starting a revival down there under the pavilion right there by the playground. And Susan's got some players lined up to help play. And we just want to invite the community to be part of the revival. So come out and do that. The pastor is a ventriloquist, so he'll be bringing some puppets and talking to us. And probably one of the smartest people we'll ever know is his dummy Freckles, all right? And so come out and be part of our revival in September. Looking forward to having a wonderful time in the Lord. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get this kicked off here. Brother Mark Kalman, would you open us in a word of prayer?
Thank you, O God, for this day that you have given us. Let us be glad and rejoice in it all the day long. Be with each and every one here today, Father. May they hear May they be touched by the Holy Spirit as they leave and go into the next week. We ask that you give us wisdom, grace, and knowledge on our path before we meet again. Thank you for everything that we will witness here today that we can carry on in life. All this in thy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help,
memories. If you guys want to stand and join us, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Christian Heritage. Okay. Got a Peppy song.
Hey.
It's okay to get happy in church.
Amen.
Amen.
You might need to stand back up.
Feel like jumping and shouting, just do it, right?
Team, he said, I want you to write a song about hope. And so we did. And so this was a few years ago. Some of you may remember it, some of you may not. So we may have to go over it twice, but it's kind of easy.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a kind of like a VBS song, I think. Well, he is our hope for the new year. He is our hope for a Valentine. He is our hope in bad weather. He is our hope in the summertime. Here's the chorus. chorus. Our God is hope.
He loves us so.
God brings hope.
Never lets us go.
Our God shows hope.
He's here to stay.
Our God shows hope.
He'll make a way.
He is our hope at Bethany.
He is our hope for the family. He is our hope at just the right time. He is our hope for eternity.
You're doing good.
Our God is hope. He loves us so.
Our God brings hope.
He never lets us go.
Our God shows hope.
He's here to stay.
Our God gives hope.
He'll make a way.
Now this next verse is right out of Romans 15, 13, 14. And every week you see it up here.
Yep.
All right, you ready? So when you learn this, you're learning the whole verse.
Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Here's the chorus.
Our God is hope.
He loves us so.
Our God brings hope.
Never lets us go.
Our God shows hope.
He's here to stay.
Our God gives hope.
He'll make a way.
One more time.
Our God is hope.
He loves us so.
Our God brings hope.
He never lets us go.
Our God shows hope.
He's here to stay.
Our God gives hope.
He'll make a way.
Try to remember that this week.
And the author of the song was?
What? No.
What?
Yes. Offering? Okay. All right. So our slogan and our vision is there is hope. No matter where you find yourself at today, there's hope in God. God is for you. He's not against you. And so before we made the decision to come, God placed on our hearts to tell the vision of Bethany Baptist Church, which is there is hope. And so we continue to say that. We continue to give that out to people. And God is a great God, and we serve a great God.
Amen.
And the author of that song is Susan. She's written several songs for us, okay? And so we're thankful for that. I mentioned on a Sunday morning that it would be good if we had a song about hope, and by Wednesday she wrote it. And so it didn't take her long, right?
I'm so sorry. Okay. I got it done the same day.
Okay. Well, maybe I didn't find out about it until Wednesday. Let's take up our offering this morning. We'll ask our ushers to come up, and we'll take up our morning offering. And once again, thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord, given to the Lord. And we appreciate everything that everyone does. There's a lot that happens behind the scenes that nobody knows about, and we're thankful for those who give to the Lord. Thank you so much. Brother Bruce, would you ask the blessing on the offering? Amen.
Amen.
Song we sing it every week. Ready?
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has done. taught us great things he has done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our joy and our wonder when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Amen.
Is it?
You going to do mission moment first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to do a little Southern gospel for you.
Amen.
Called Jordan. And Todd's doing a real good job back there. He's singing from the sound booth.
Yeah.
All right, are we ready?
Take Jesus as your daily guide, though you may feel pure and safely without a mortal by your side. But when you come to make that crossing at the end of your pilgrim's way, if you ever will meet our Savior, you'll surely meet him on that day.
Now look at that.
Oh, Jordan.
Look at that.
Deep waters.
Look at that.
Wide river. Oh, hear the mighty billows roar.
You gotta take
keep in touch with Jesus and in His grace the love of God, that we may come ready when He calls us over Jordan's tide.
Now look at that
cold Jordan.
Look at these
deep waters.
Look at that
wide river. Oh, hear the mighty billows roll.
You better pray.
Jesus with you.
He's a
true companion.
For I'm
sure without Him, you're never gonna make it old.
That's Ricky Skaggs on the mandolin.
Deep waters.
Look at that
wide river. Oh, hear the mighty billows roll.
You better take
Jesus with you.
He's a
true companion.
For I'm
sure without Him, you never will make it old.
Oh, oh,
what you gonna do?
Oh,
what you gonna say?
That was good. Amen. We appreciate Susan and the praise team and all the work that they do behind the scenes. Thank you so much for your hard dedication and practice. And so everybody kind of do this. All right. Everybody do this. All right. We can't be stiff now this morning. Right. Hey, if I was going, and it's my turn to bat, right? That's what they say. It's my turn. Sometimes I'm sitting back there saying, oh, If I was in a game and the bases were loaded and the game was tied and two outs and I'm going up the bat, the last thing I would do is go up there going like this. I would be shaking and, you know, I'd be doing everything in my power to make sure I'm good and loose for that fastball that's coming my way. Amen? There's a fastball getting ready to hit you this morning. It's called The Conspiracy of God, Part 2. Divide and Conquer. There's some things going on in the world today that we really need to pay attention to. We really need to be aware of what's happening in the spiritual world. I'm not talking about the political world. I'm not talking about the things that's going on. I'm talking about the spiritual. There's a spiritual warfare going on right now. And we need to be on our game because there are fastballs coming our way every day. And the devil would like nothing more than hit you right between the eyes and knock you out, take you out. And he's trying everything in his power to do. So if you got your Bibles, everyone, lift up your Bibles. Amen. All right. Got to bring your Bible to church. Got to get in the Word of God. Don't take my word for, you know, that it's right. You read, make sure. If I make a mistake, you sure tell me, okay? All right. If I mispronounce a word, Alberto will take care of that on the way home, okay? All right. Yeah. Hey, we're looking at Matthew chapter 12. Starting in verse 22, if you found your place in the Word of God, please stand with us as we would honor the reading of God's holy word, perfect word. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 22. I'd like to bring a message, the conspiracy against God, part 2, to divide and conquer. To divide and conquer. Anybody ever heard that term, divide and conquer? Yeah, that's kind of what is a manufacturing term. We say that when we have a big problem, we say, let's divide it down and then we'll conquer it. Or I think it might be a military term, divide the enemy and then we'll conquer the enemy. How do you eat the elephant in the room?
One bite
at a time, right? So that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to divide to conquer. The reading of God's holy word in verse 22. Then was brought unto him, being Jesus, one possessed with a devil. He was blind and he was dumb, and he healed him. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Amen. A double miracle. Amen. You know, some says, well, he could have done one. I don't know if he does it all, right? So he does it all. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? We know him. We grew up with him. I know his mother. I know his father. Isn't this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fella doeth not cast out devils, but by Zezebel, the prince of the devils, or Satan himself. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. And how then is his kingdom stand? And if I by Satan cast out the devils, by whom does your children cast them out? Therefore ye shall know your judges. For if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Amen? Amen. Aren't you thankful that God is greater than all evil and is able to cast it out? This is a really important verse. I would encourage you to look at this verse and for your homework assignment and dig into it, because I think it's happening around us and it's a whole different message. But it says, for elsewhere, how shall one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house. In other words, we gotta bind Satan, right? And what's happening today, which is a different message, but there, America cast out a lot of evil when it was founded. But now the strong man's coming back. And what's happening is we're seeing a culture that's taking place in the world in America where the strong man's coming back. And he's coming back with friends. He's coming back fuller, with more force, with more demons, with more evil. And so that's a message within itself. But he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. He that is not with me is against me. There's no middle ground in the culture in which we live today. Either we're in or we're out. Either we're for or we're not. And so that's what the world is looking for today, is where do we stand and what it's going to cost us and the conspiracy against God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and Lord, you know this message, Father, is your message. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can take it now and feed our spirit and our soul. And Father, I pray that you would help us be aware of what's happening around us. And help us not to be afraid, and help us not to be silent. But Father, help us to shout from the rooftop that Jesus is Lord, and he is the creator of all things, and we serve a mighty God. And so, Father, I pray that you would just take this message now. Help me to decrease so that you might increase. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, fill us this morning with your presence. Forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The conspiracy against God is to divide and conquer. But let me tell you something about this. God always multiplies. God always multiplies, while the devil always divides. It's about mathematics almost. You know, everything's around mathematics, right? And so we know that God, he always multiplies. And so God wants to multiply his church. And God wants to multiply you as an individual. So God is not sitting on his throne, not worried about us. He is worried about us. And not only does God want to add to your life, but God wants to multiply your life. Amen. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here as we talk about God. And so I'm going to speak some truth to you today. And so I have some good news, and I got some bad news. All right, if you noticed yesterday, I kept telling you, well, I got good news, I got bad news. Which one you want? You know, trying to get people into a conversation. And so there was a art collector whose lawyer called him up and says, hey, I got some good news, I got some bad news. He says, man, it's been a bad day. And quite honestly, I don't know if I could take any more bad news, so give me the good news first, and maybe I'll be able to survive this. He says, okay. He says, well, you're an art collector, and so I want to tell you that your wife bought two pictures for $5,000, but she believes she can sell them for $2 million. And he's like, oh, man, that's great news. I really like that. That's my wife. She's such a business person. Oh, that is just exciting. I can't wait for that to happen. He's getting ready to get off the phone. He says, oh, wait a minute. What's the bad news? He said, well, I hate to tell you this, but the pictures that she bought was a picture of you and your secretary. Woo! Good thing we don't have no children in here this morning, but not a good thing. I wish this place was filled with children. We'd go into children's ministry, amen? We do vacation Bible school every Sunday, right? We'd be having some real fun. So there's some good news and bad news. And so I want to give you some really good news. I want to give you some fantastic news. There is a good plan, and then there's a bad plan, but there's a conspiracy against God. But the good news, the good plan is this. God is for you. God loves you. The greatest news that we know is that how much God loves you today, how much He cares for you. Sometimes we kind of put God way out there in heaven, and we forget that He's walking beside us. We forget that He's got us by the hand. We forget that He is concerned about every area of our life. We forget that He hears every prayer that we offer up. Amen. And in God's timing, He answers those prayers according to His will and purpose. And so the good news is this, is that God loves you today. And God wants to multiply you today. God doesn't want to add to your faith. God doesn't want to just add to the grace that He's putting into you. He wants to multiply it. He wants to give you the abundance. You know, I think Ephesians 3, chapter or verse 20 says, unto Him who is able to do abundantly above all that we think or we asked, according to the power that works within us through the Holy Spirit. So God wants to give us a whole lot. And so 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 and 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 starts off by saying this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me tell you, God wants to multiply your peace. God wants to multiply your grace to you today. If you're unsettled today, if you don't know which way, direction to go, you don't know what's going to happen, God is going to multiply the peace in your heart. How do you know what God's will is? Because He gives you peace, right? When you're praying for God to show something to you or to find something to do, then God will give you a peace. Well, who multiply that? Now, you know, I say, God, not only give me direction, but, you know, sometimes I'm a little hard-headed. Just hit me upside the head, amen? Because I want to know Your will. Amen. And I want to know what You're all about. And I want to know for sure that I'm going the right direction. And God wants to multiply us. God is not saves us and bring us here just for a little bit. God wants to give us a whole bunch. Amen. God loves you today. Amen. And He wants to multiply you. He wants to give you everything you need and some. Amen? You know what? Our cup runneth over, right? That's what David says. Our cup runneth. Why? So that we could take what's falling off of us and give it to somebody else. Amen? Jesus, just multiply us. Amen? Just give us what we need for the week. so that we can overflow to somebody else in, who's in need. Multiply us. And so we see in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says the churches were multiplied who were walking in the fear of the Lord. How do you get the multiplication taking effect in your life? Fear God. Do what's right. Live righteously. Fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord. And then we see in Acts chapter 12 and verse 24, it says that the word of God grew and multiplied. Do we ever live in a time when we need this to multiply? We need God's word to multiply for all of us, and for the whole world to see that Jesus truly is the Messiah, truly was the Son of God. And so I'm necessarily not a claimant and our name it and claim it type of preacher. You know, there's some people like that. But I will tell you this, I do believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
And I do believe that this sacred altar has power in itself. That when we come on God's terms, God will give us what we need. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Or that we want to consume it on our own self. But God will give to us according to our needs. And I can tell you that God is just waiting to hear it from our lips. God, we need this in order to get, you know, for Him to come into action. He wants to hear it from us. And so it's just the type of God that we serve. And so we don't need to pray, God, add to our church. We need to pray, God, multiply our church.
Amen.
Someone said, I don't remember the math. Someone says, which would you rather have? $1 million or $100 every day multiplied for the next 30 days? And I think if you do the multiplication, it's worth a lot more than $1 million, right? We don't want God just to add to our church. We want God to multiply our church. I don't want God just to add to my family spiritual life. I want God to multiply my children and grandchildren. I want God to be all over them. Amen? Because we believe that there is a power in the Lord. Hey, I just untied my shoe. I'm going to tie my shoe, okay? Because I'm going to fall off here if I don't. All right? Mom cleaned me up, put me on the porch, told me, don't you move. And I moved and I fell off the porch, broke the other arm, okay? So I my shoe's untied, I try to tie it, amen? That's good news. We are to pray for God to give us the portion of His Holy Spirit. Not just add the Holy Spirit to us, multiply the Holy Spirit to us. We need the Spirit of God living within us in an unclean, an unevil, a very evil world in which we live in. We need the multiplication of the Holy Spirit in us.
Amen.
We need Him today if we're going to be able to survive what's coming our way. And so we see that God has good news for us today. Has good news. And God has a good plan. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think of you. How that I am not thinking of evil, but thinking of good. And how I will give you an expected end or give you hope. God wants to give us hope today. That's the plan that He has for our lives. God wants to multiply us. So then what is our part? How are we going to get the multiplication of God in our life? What do we need to do in order for God to multiply in us? I think the one thing that we need to do is this. I think we need to prune off the dead stuff in our life. Amen. If you want to be able to grow, what do? You know, they go out there and they prune those trees and those bushes and they come back bigger and bigger and stronger. So if we want God to multiply in our life, we have to get rid of some stuff in our life. And if we do that, then we will have room in our life for God to multiply us. Because we'll have some empty spots that He says, all right, now I can go to work. Amen? He made some room for me. Have you made any room for Jesus lately? Have you got rid of anything that stands in the way? Anything that would divide you from God is in the way. And so the good news is He will multiply inside of us. He will grow Himself inside of us. He will multiply within us. And so we can see that God will do that. We can be fruitful and multiply. I got some good news. I got some bad news. The good news is God loves you.
Amen.
There's a guy out walking his pet carrot. Late at night, it was dark. So as he's walking a carrot, all of a sudden a car went around him and wiped that carrot out. He rushed it to the emergency room. He was panicked that his carrot was going to die. And so finally the doctor come out and he asked the doctor, "Doctor, is he alive? Is it dead? What's going on?" And he says, "I got some good news and I got some bad news." He said, "The good news is the carrot's alive. They're not going to lose them." He's like, "Oh, great. Thank you, doctor. Thank you so much." He says, "What's the bad news?" He said, "The bad news is this." As he put his arm around the man, he says, "Your carrot is going to be a vegetable the rest of its life." Are those corny or what? I ask him, "Jesus, is this too corny to do in church, you know?" But you know what? We need to laugh every once in a while because God's got a plan for us. We should be the happiest people in the world.
Amen.
But somebody says, "Why are you so happy? Taxes are up. Everything's up." We should say, "Because Jesus is multiplying inside me. And would you like a little of it?"
Amen.
Amen. So they're bad news. Very bad news. There's a conspiracy against God today. And the conspiracy is to divide and conquer. Division. There's a conspiracy against God to divide everything. And so there's a concentrated effort to divide the unity of God and His people. A concentrated effort means to wholly direct to one thing on an intense, concentrated campaign to divide. Is there any campaign happening today that's dividing us? It is an absolute campaign in the world for the vision. Let me follow. To divide everything around us, that is what is happening today. The devil is trying to divide our belief system. He's trying to divide us and believe in that. Did God really say? If we sin against God, is there consequences to sin against God? Will we really get to heaven if we do such and such? Do we really have to do all of this? Because the devil is trying to divide our belief system.
Right.
He is trying to do that, and he's doing a very good job of it. He's trying to kill the values that we have. The one things that we once stood for, the things that we thought were cherished, the devil was trying to destroy our values, and he is doing a really good job at destroying our morals in this country. Amen?
Amen.
I speak unto you truth. All you have to do is look around what's taking place. Well, why is that? Why is the devil trying to divide everything around us? Well, Jesus gives us the answer. And when I was studying this and looking at this, I thought, Jesus, you know what you're doing with these messages because you give the right answers. And the answer is this. Jesus gave it to us there. He says that that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. You see what they're doing? See what the devil's doing? There's a conspiracy against God to divide everything. Because he knows that if it's divided, it will not stand. And so we see how that a house divided within itself, Satan believes this. We believe that he believes this. We're not for sure, but we speculate on some things about what the devil's end game plan is try to destroy everything, right? That's his game. We know that from the Bible. But we also believe that Satan believes if he can divide the world, that he could conquer it. That he won't go to that terrible place that was prepared for him and his demons. And so we see how that he is trying everything to divide it. The one world government that is getting ready to take place is about central control. It's about controlling everything. They want to control everything. And the only way that they can do that is by dividing everything. Because the house that is divided of itself shall not stand. Amen? So everything is being divided. But I am thankful for Revelation, amen? Because the Bible tells us that from every tongue of every nation knows Jesus Christ is in, at the altar praising him, amen?
Amen.
God has died for all people.
Right.
He didn't die just for Americans, he died for the whole world. That's why he came into the whole world, that the whole world through him might be saved. Even Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world because the world was condemned already. But I come that they might believe and they might be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. He has done it for us. He has saved us and given us the opportunity to know him. And so we see everything is being divided today. The races are being divided. If they can get the blacks against the whites and the Hispanics against this and this nation against that, every nation, a race of people, if we can get them fighting against them, you know what they won't do? They won't unite. They'll just be in their own little worlds. And he will conquer. Fascism. It's a word we hear a lot today. I was looking this up, and it says a fascist is a follower of a political philosophy characterized by views of a strong central government and has no tolerance for opposing opinions. That's what a fascist is, with few individual rights. And so they are destroying us, and that's what is fueling the division today, and he is fueling this by taking away our rights. But with God, we have all the rights.
Amen.
God has given us the right to live as we want. God has given us liberty. Who the Son has set free, you are free indeed.
Amen.
And so he has given us all kinds of rights. And so the Satan and the conspiracy against God is to take away the individual rights. And we're seeing that take place in our world today. Satan is his efforts to divide the gospel. If he could destroy the truth of the gospel, he's doing it. Because we see in our culture today how many are gotten away from preaching the truth. And preaching about sin. And preaching about the things that this book talks about. And so Satan is in the details, amen? He is in the details. He's trying everything in the world to divide you from your families, to conquer you. The conspiracy against God, we've heard the chants, no justice, no peace. We see how our churches are dealing. Our churches are divided today. You know, we're worried about carpet colors and everything else. And there's people dying and going to hell. Amen? We're concerned about the wrong things. We should say, you know what? Anybody here can preach better than me, you're up next week, amen? I'll gladly get out of the way. Because God needs the message to go out. He needs to hear what God is saying to us today. And so he is dividing the churches. Are there any families that are divided today? Amen? He is dividing our families because if he can get our families fighting against each other, he wins. Because the things, the house that's divided within itself cannot stand. Jesus told us. The conspiracy against God is to divide everything. Our houses, our homes, our communities, our finances.
What is about to take place in our finances is not good. The poor, the rich, they say, no, we don't want the police anymore. They're dividing the community of protection. And then I read this week how a whole police department in Minnesota said, you know what? If you want to defund us, you don't want us, we all resign. The whole police force resigned. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't live in that city. It's the wild, wild west. Amen? Because without the law, there is no protection. There's no liberty without the law. And so we see that Satan is trying everything to destroy everything. The Jews against the Christians. The workers against the non-workers. The Republicans against the independents, against the Democrats. He's trying everything to divide everything that we possibly can. I will tell you, the man who will keep America, who will get America, I don't care if he's an independent Republican or Democrat. If he is for God and he stands on the value of this word, I'll vote for him.
Amen.
Man, we need that person in America today. We need that in the world today. There is a conspiracy against God that is unfolding today like we've never seen it before. And yet we see Jesus prayed for us. He prayed, he said, Father, I pray that they might be one as we are one. Remember that in the 17th chapter of John? And the reason that Jesus prayed that was what? So that they might believe that you sent me into the world and through me they might be saved.
Amen.
You see the end play? They want to destroy unity because that nobody will get saved. Amen? We're spending too much time bickering and fighting amongst ourselves. And we're not into what really matters the most. Your soul. And so Jesus prayed for us. There was an underground church meeting in North Korea. And North Korea is one of the worst places to be a Christian in the world today, if you've read anything about that. And so basically there were some believers meeting, and it was a secret meeting, because in North Korea, the government puts into home churches people that will tell on who's in the home church. And even they'll even pay family members to turn in their families that are worshiping God. And so basically this underground church was meeting, and all of a sudden out of nowhere three masked men jump in with guns and tells everybody in there, if you're here and you're meeting in the name of Jesus, you need to leave. If you don't want to die, you need to leave. And a couple of them left. So finally, the terrorists or whoever they were said again, you know, if you're here, you stay here, we're going to kill you. If you're worshiping Jesus, you're in church today, we're going to kill you unless you leave. And nobody else left. So they said, this is the third and final warning. I'm telling you, you don't leave, you're dying. And they all said, we'll die for Jesus. And then those gunmen took their hats and pulled them off and said, now we know that we're safe to worship with you today. Why? Because they were willing to lay down their life for the cause of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's where we're headed today.
That's
where we're headed. Okay? So we just need to be aware. And so we see how that Satan fears unity. If he can keep our church bickering and fighting amongst ourselves, which I don't believe we do, okay? I believe we got an awesome church.
Amen.
I believe that we have people who give all the time to the Lord. There's things that happens that I don't even know about, and I don't even care to know about because I think they're on task for Jesus. Amen? I'm good. You got my permission. If you want to bless somebody, just go bless them. Amen? You don't have to come and say, preacher, is okay. Just go do it. Go do it. Because Satan fears unity. And he fears unity of the church and of the world. And so the one world government will divide and conquer. And so what's the test? What is the test today? I believe it's a very simple test that we can do. Whoever is dividing is probably on the wrong side.
That's right.
Whoever is building up is probably on the side you might want to be with.
That's right.
I interview a lot of people at work, and honestly, I have the power and the authority to make decisions. Who gets a job, who doesn't get a job. And so a lot of times, I'll have an individual that my team will say, and I think we ought to pass on that. But in the midst of the interview, I find out a little bit more personal stuff about them and realize that they're really struggling. And they got some issues at home and got some other issues. They really need a job. And their skill set may not perfectly match our skill sets, but they tell me, I'll do what you need me to do. I just need to go to work. And I'll go back to my boss and I'll say, we need to hire this person. Because this person is going to help the team to build up. Amen? Then I get some interviews where they it's like, oh, if I don't do this, that's it. Man, I ain't doing anything else, you know? Okay. That's fine. We can entertain that. The test is this: who's building up and who's tearing down? What is dividing you from God? What is dividing you from God? What is dividing your attention? Amen? I got an attention problem. And Bert will probably tell you that. You know, I can get just one track mind real quick, you know. And she's got to reel me in a little bit, you know. And so if I'm not careful, I will get my attention off of what's important. The things that are important is what God's doing in our lives.
Amen.
So what's dividing my attention from God? And the devil knows what it is. He knows me, and he's trying his best to put that in my life. What about our time? What takes time away from God? Dividing. Satan is a master of dividing our time away from God if we're not careful. Or what about our devotion? The time that we spend in the prayer closet, the time that we spend in the Word of God, what is dividing our devotion? I can tell you it's Satan. Because there is a conspiracy against God to divide everything that he possibly can. And let me tell you, Jesus says, I will put you back together. Amen. I got you. And I'm thankful God's got us today. Heavenly Father, as we come to an end and as we have an invitation song, Lord, I pray that your will just be done in our lives. I thank you, Father, for Jesus who builds up and gives us hope and gives us life. And I pray that you will bind a strong man, that he would be bound so that we can enter into the house, all the arenas that we are dealt with. Father, I pray that you will help us in that hour. Forgive us where we fail you. And just take this message, Lord, and help us to apply it to our own lives. And Father, we would say, Lord, as we cut off the dead, we would ask that you would multiply our hearts within us. Forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tammy, what are we singing this morning?
I Surrender All.
I Surrender All.
354,
and words are on the screen. You can stand and sing with us. No matter where you are today, he'll meet you. He'll meet you where you are today.
All to Jesus I surrender.
I surrender.
That's the key to winning, surrendering all. So, hey, thank you so much for being here today and being part of our service. Thank you so much for our visitors that we have. Thank you so much for being here. And on the bulletin, there is a slip that you can fill out and just give that to someone on your way out. If you'd like some more information about the church, we certainly will get that out to you. If you'd like a pastoral visit, we can certainly do that also. But if you want your privacy, we certainly will honor that as well. But thank you for being in service today. Before we go, I got a dear friend here who has a birthday tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
And I don't think we should get out of here without singing John Happy Birthday, right?
Amen.
So
let's do it.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, I got you. Amen. Anybody have any words they'd like to share before we come to a close today?